From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the final portion of a message entitled Paul Before Felix, part of this series of studies in the Book of Acts. Before Dr. Cairns comes, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Morning by Morning. This morning's text is found in Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him. All the attributes of Christ as God and man are at our disposal. All the fullness of the Godhead, whatever that marvelous term may comprehend, is ours to make us complete. He cannot endow us with the attributes of deity, but he has done all that can be done, for he has made even his divine power and Godhead subservient to our salvation. His omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, immutability, and infallibility are all combined for our defense. Arise, believer, and behold the Lord Jesus yoking the whole of his divine Godhead to the chariot of salvation. How vast his grace! How firm his faithfulness! How unswerving his immutability! How infinite his power! How limitless his knowledge! All these are by the Lord Jesus made the pillars of the temple of salvation, and all, without diminution of their infinity, are covenanted to us as our perpetual inheritance. The fathomless love of the Savior's heart is every drop of it ours. Every sinew in the arm of might, every jewel in the crown of majesty, the immensity of divine knowledge and the sternness of divine justice, all are ours and shall be employed for us. The whole of Christ in his adorable character as the Son of God is by himself made over to us most richly to enjoy. His wisdom is our direction, his knowledge our instruction, his power our protection, his justice our surety, his love our comfort, his mercy our solace, and his immutability our trust. He makes no reserve, but opens the recesses of the Mount of God and bids us dig in its mines for the hidden treasures. All are yours, saith he. Be ye satisfied with favor and full of the goodness of the Lord. Oh, how sweet thus to behold Jesus, and to call upon him with the certain confidence that in seeking the interposition of his love or power, we are but asking for that which he has already faithfully promised.
Thank you.
Among the great classics of Christian literature, A.W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God is remarkable for its impact on the lives of countless believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The product of a lifelong passion for knowing God in an intimate, soul-refreshing relationship, this small volume exposes the roadblocks that keep us from fully knowing God, reveals our responsibility of the pursuit, and ultimately leads us into the very presence of God Himself. Some of the chapter titles include Following Hard After God, Restoring the Creator-Creature Relation, and The Sacrament of Living. As you read and study Tozer's penetrating insights, you will learn the meaning of Paul's words in Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know Him. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer complete reprints of this timeless devotional help free of charge. For your copy of The Pursuit of God, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of The Pursuit of God, and we'll be glad to provide it. In chapter 24 of the book of Acts, Paul is a prisoner of the Romans, having been rescued by them from death at the hands of the Jews. Having learned of a conspiracy to slay Paul, the Roman centurion sent him to Caesarea to be judged by Felix, the governor of the region. Paul did not hesitate to confess Christ before this tribunal. Dr. Cairns is focusing upon the final verses of the chapter, which show Paul, the defendant, before Felix, becoming Paul, the examiner of Felix, and preaching to this corrupt official the need for repentance from his sins. With spirit-energized boldness, Paul reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment, bringing Felix face to face with his sin, with the result that the governor trembled under conviction. Tragically, Felix did what many sinners do. He refused to repent of his sin and told Paul that he would call for him again when it was convenient. Yet, as happens with so many people, that convenient time never came, and Felix died in his sin. Now to bring the final portion of this message entitled, Paul Before Felix, here is Dr. Cairns.
Paul looked that murderer right between the eyes. And he said, Felix, I'm going to talk to you about your lust and about your sin. And about your intemperance, and about your incontinence, and about your wicked living. Because Paul was a firm believer, except ye repent, you'll perish. So he got to talking about Felix's sin. Got to talking about his heart. And then he talked about punishment. Judgment to come. Judgment to come. Not a very popular subject. Paul, you'll notice, he might have touched on the love of God under the term righteousness, but he hasn't really made it a main point in his message yet, has he? He preached it, but he wanted to see sinners saved, and he wanted them to see that the way God loves them is saving them from hell, and hell is real. Punishment of sin, judgment to come. Now, Felix was used to judging other people. And here the judge is judged. Here he's put under the microscope of the Word of God,
and Felix is made to tremble. There's the fury of God's judgment. Now, you would be playing the fool if you blinded yourself to the fact that God is a God of judgment. If you're sitting in this meeting this morning and you're not saved, and you're saying, well, I'm hoping somehow, some way I'll get through. I'm hoping that some way God will excuse my sin, that maybe some way I'll not perish. My friend, you're playing the fool. For God says it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. He says again, our God is a consuming fire, the fury of God's judgment. And then he preached surely about the certainty of God's judgment. For God will bring every work into judgment with every secret thing. Can you imagine that? That balks our imagination, even in these days when men boast of their computer science and all the things that they can store. Can you imagine it? That God will bring every work of every man, of every young person, of every child who ever existed throughout the years of time. He'll bring every work with every secret thing. That's every thought, every motive, every unspoken part of your being, every inward motion of the heart. He'll bring it all to judgment. Because all things are open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. But I'm sure that Paul not only preached of God's coming judgment, but the opportunity to repent before it. When the Bible speaks of judgment, if there's an opportunity to repent, God's word always sounds it out. Amos 4 and 12, after a whole chapter of telling them of coming judgment, prepare to meet thy God. Of course, there's the other side of the coin. There are two great prophets in the Old Testament, many other great prophets, but there are two that I always think stand out in great contrast. Isaiah, and around 100 years later, Jeremiah. Isaiah preached repentance and the opportunity of grace. Jeremiah started out preaching, amend your ways. In fact, he ended up still calling them to do that. But after the first segment of his ministry was over, God said to Jeremiah, no more. You can preach and you can even pray, but I won't hear you. If you pray for these people, I won't hear you. For their past redemption and their past repentance, and they must be judged. I tell you this morning, if God has given you an opportunity to repent, in God's name, take it. In God's name, take it. Because he says, my spirit will not always strive with man. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. May God grant you grace to repent ere punishment comes. So that was Paul's reasoning. Felix's reaction was that he trembled. I think this is one of the saddest statements in the Bible. He trembled. He was deeply concerned. His conscience was awakened. He knew that what Paul was saying was right. He had to agree with every word. He couldn't get around the message. He knew he should repent and be saved. He knew that without delay he should come to Christ. It was all laid out before him. And Felix trembled. Let me say something to you. I've said Felix was a slave who was set free. He became a murderer. He became an adulterer. He became a thief. He became, you name it, he became it. But I'll tell you, Felix could tremble under the preaching of the gospel. There's many an upright man or woman and a self-righteous man or woman, and they're that rotten in their sin and they're that hardened in their sin that they're worse than Felix, for they can't tremble. He trembled. Sadly, he loved his sin, and he didn't come He looked at the woman by his side, I have no doubt. And he realized, if I repent today, she's out. He looked at all the money that he had gained by stealing and by bribery and by corruption. He said, if I get saved today, that's gone. He looked at the judgment seat in which he sat, and he says to himself, if I become a Christian, I cannot be a Roman governor. I'll lose my job, and I might even lose my head. All these things were weighing in upon him. Felix trembled. Then he said, and this is his rejection, go thy way for this time. Notice the dismissal. Go thy way. The very opposite to the words of Ruth. She said to Naomi, thy way shall be my way. He says to Paul, I'll have nothing to do with your way. Go thy way. Separation of the way. I don't know how true it is. I'm sure that logically it must be true, but I don't know if we could actually discern the spot. I have read that there is a particular place in the Rockies where you can really call it the point of division. A shower of rain comes down on one side of the line, all the water will drain to one side, and ultimately it will drain, if it can reach it, all the way to the Atlantic Ocean. On the other side of the line, water will drain away, and ultimately to the Pacific Ocean. So close together at one point, and then a total division, total separation. Paul and Felix stood together in a judgment room. Paul was saved and Felix was trembling on the edge of coming to Christ. But he says, go thy way. Their ways parted further and further. But Paul went to heaven and Felix was damned in hell. Go thy way, dismissal. Notice his delusion. Go thy way for this time. Ah, Paul, I'm not finished. I'm not saying I won't be saved, but not now. Go thy way for this time. I intend, but not now. Go thy way for this time when I have a convenient season. Most people quote that wrongly and say a more convenient season. That's not what Felix said. He said, when I have a convenient season, in other words, when it suits me, I'll come to Christ. Let me tell you, friend, if you're going to come to Christ when it suits you, you'll be perishing in hell forever. Will it ever suit the ungodly heart to come to Christ? Will it ever suit your ungodly friends for you to come to Christ? Will it ever suit the world for you to come to Christ? Will it ever suit the devil and sin and wickedness for you to come to Christ? There'll never be a convenient season as far as the world's concerned. The Bible says this is the convenient season because now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. We leave Felix and Drusilla. There are two solemn lessons I want you to remember. Felix trembled. Drusilla sat, as far as we can tell, totally unconcerned. And they both perished. In effect, they both sinned the same way. Oh, his conscience was stricken, her conscience was seared. But they both sinned the same way. He sinned away his day of grace. He rejected and rejected and rejected and was lost. She reached the same stage, a hardened conscience. Why? Because she had rejected the light of God's truth. Bishop Butler, name not known not much nowadays, one of the greatest scholars the Church of England ever produced. He wrote a book that is still studied by theological students, at least in some places today. A great scholarly defense of the Christian faith against the heresy of deism. But in one chapter, he takes a chapter to write on the weakening or lessening power of what he calls passive impressions. Let's strip away all the jargon. What does he mean? Let me give you an example. You endure a little pain, you flinch from it. You endure it again and you flinch. You endure it again and you flinch. But keep on subjecting yourself to that particular sensation. And before long, you'll be immune. You'll feel nothing. Give you something you can try it out on. If you're used wearing shoes, take them off, set out in your bare feet, walk over every stony road, your feet will be as sore as they can be. I guarantee you do it for a week or a month and you'll have feet like leather. You'll feel nothing. So it is with conscience. God speaks once, yea, twice. The voice of God is heard in the soul. You harden your heart, and before long, you feel nothing. I have seen people who used to weep under the preaching of the gospel, and today if Jesus Christ himself were to stand before them, they would spurn him, and they would practically spit in his face. That's how they perished. The final thought is this. For pleasure, for position, for politics, they spurned Christ. And then they both found that the thing that they sold their souls for didn't really exist after all. It was like trying to grasp the steam that comes from the spout of a kettle. Grasping for something that was insubstantial. Felix sold his soul for Roman political power and pleasure. We read in 2 years he moved. You know why he moved? He was deposed and he died in shame. Drusilla sat there as a queen. With the son that she bore to Felix, she was in the city of Pompeii when the Mount of Vesuvius erupted in its great volcano. And as the hot lava buried that entire Roman city, 2 corpses among the dead, Drusilla, the son she bore to Felix, he perished in shame. She died in the flames and the lava of Vesuvius. 2 souls who sold everything for what the world could give. And that they found in the long run, they had lost their souls and they had nothing in return. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? I trust today, as we have looked at God's word, that every young person, every young man and every young woman will get to serious thought about where they stand with God. Every older man and woman will get to serious thought that God will convict you and bring you to Christ. Give you no peace until you find peace in Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.